How many of you truly, you need God to do something in your life? I mean, you need God to come through in some form or some fashion. It could be relationship, it could be financial, it could be an illness, a sickness. I have no idea. It could be a loved one who needs God to do something in your life. If that's you, there's no shame. Would you just get your hand up? I need God to do something in my life. I need God to do something in my family. Well, over the next several weeks, we're going to look at different miracles in the scripture that God used to perform in people's lives. And today we're going to start off with one of the greatest miracles. Well, Jesus took a blind man and physically healed him so that he could see. And we're going to look at how does that apply to our hearts and lives today. In fact, this passage is found in Mark chapter 8. Starting in verse 22, the Bible says, they came to Bethsaida. They brought a blind man to Jesus and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, brought him out of the village, and then he does something crazy we'll get to just in a moment, but spitting on his eyes and laying hands on him, he asked the man, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people, and they look like trees walking around. And again, Jesus places his hands on the man's eyes, and the man looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. He saw everything clearly. Now I see what you're up to, Jesus. I see the miracle in my life. Come on, would you pray? I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the C's of seeing. What are the C's to seeing in my life? Father, we love you. God, we are so grateful and thankful that you are in this place. And God, you know our hearts, you know our minds, you know what keeps us up at night, you know what we worry about, you know where we need a miracle in our life. You know the struggles that we face, the struggles that we have, the needs that we need. And God, for the next few minutes, we just come to you in this place, believing that you would perform a miracle. That God, that you would do the greatest miracle, and that is to open the eyes of those who have not seen you. And you will open the eyes of our heart that we will see you, Jesus. That the greatest miracle that we may need this morning is to cross from death to life, to be brought into your family. And so, Father, for the next few minutes, I pray, Holy Spirit, you will do what only you can do, and that is to open the eyes of our heart that we may believe and that we may see Jesus. And we know we will never be the same. For it's in his name that we ask and we pray. And everyone said, come on, amen, amen. You may be seated. Would you look at the person sitting beside you, say, I'm glad you're here today. Tell them, go ahead, just say you're glad you're here. Glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming, hanging out with us. Look at the other person that says, hey, I need a miracle in my life. Go ahead, tell them, you need a miracle in your life. We all need some kind of miracle in our lives. I'll never forget, I graduated college. It was on a Saturday. That's when you walk, right? I mean, it's a miracle that I graduated college. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about, right? I actually crammed 4 years of college into 4.5 years. Don't know how I did it, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Graduated on a Saturday, started working on a Monday. That's how you get a job fast, right? I mean, I started working in the computer fields. I started working on computers and working on them every single day, staring at computers, working on computers for the next probably 2.5 years before the Lord led me into full-time ministry as I graduated college. And I never forget, something began to happen as I started working on computers that people tell you about, but I was like, that never affect me. I never forget, I started going to work and I was at church even sometimes and begin to look at things at a distance, and I noticed that my eyesight wasn't as good as it used to be. Now I'm like, I'm 24 years old. I mean, how does your eyesight change, right? I mean, come on, things are going great now. And then all of a sudden we had some doctor friends in our church who are eye doctors, and I said, hey, won't you come see me? And I said, okay, I'll go down and see you, but my eyes are great, nothing's wrong with my eyes. And then I heard the words that I did not want to hear, and that is, you need glasses. And instantly I thought of all those years that I made fun of my sister for wearing her glasses have now come back to get me, right? I don't need glasses. My eyesight is good. And they said, well, maybe you can wear contacts. I was like, there is no way you're going to stick something in my eye. Come on, right? You've been there. There's no way I'm going to be able to have, like, put my finger and touch my eye. That's disgusting and germs and right? I don't want to do that. And so I wore some contacts and some glasses, and then they came up with this invention with this hard glass called a CRT, a hard glass contact. You wear it at night. And at night, when you get up in the morning, you take this octopus suction cup and you stick it to your eye and you pop out this glass lens of your eye. I'm telling you the truth. And then all day long, your eyesight would be like perfect. And then at night, you put it back in, you sleep in it. And I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. I don't want to do this anymore. They said, well, why don't you think about having LASIK? How much does that cost? Dear Lord, what? I mean, how am I going to save up for that? They said, you should get LASIK surgery. I was like, okay, you're a great candidate. You should get LASIK. And my wife at the time, she's been wearing glasses her whole life. We talked her into getting LASIK too. So we both were going to get LASIK at the same time because I'm the man of the family and the man of the house. I told my wife she had to go first. But unfortunately, at the time, she was nursing our child, so she couldn't take some of the medication. I didn't want her having surgery while she was nursing herself. I said, okay, give me the ball. I'm going to go first. Now, what's going to happen? They said, well, you're going to lay down on the table. This kind of transformer Decepticon thing is going to come and pull your eyelids back like this. But don't worry. We'll put drops in your eye. You're going to take a Valium. It's going to calm you down. I said, excuse me? They said, you're going to take a Valium. You don't want me on medicine, ma'am. Like, no, I don't do good with medicine. I mean, really, you don't want me on any type kind of pain meds like that. I mean, I cut my finger. I was working out, cut my finger, had like 5 stitches. And I went to the ER, and they said, you're going to have to take a Valium. I said, I ain't taking no Valium. You, sir, you got to take a half one. It's going to hurt. Okay, give me a half one. I got this. I can do this. Honey, go home. I'll drive myself home. After it kicked in, my friend Jeff Bobby, I was like, dude, you're going to have to drive me home. He had to help me get up in the truck. I'm talking about like a half of a Valium. And I looked at him as he's driving me. I said, man, I love you, man. I love you. He's like, are you okay? I said, where's my mom? I called my mom. I got a phone and said, Mom, I just love you. She said, honey, what's wrong? I don't know, but I love you, Mom. You know, I'm like, I'm not good with medication. And he said, listen, then there's going to be this laser, and the laser is going to go zzzz, and it's going to zap your eye. I said, if anyone has a laser, it's going to be me with the lightsaber. Come on now. December the 16th, 2007, Star Wars is coming out. I'm going to get my laser. That's the only thing when it comes to lasers that's going to touch me. And so I never forget, I lay down on that bed, and they took this thing, they cut my eyelid, cut my lens, they pulled my lens black, and I could not see anything, as blurry as can be. And then the laser goes, zzz, 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 and I can smell it. Oh, it was terrible. And I smelled it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? I'm going to go blind. I'm not going to be able to see. And they took this fingernail polish brush, and they brushed my lens back over, and you're watching this the whole time. And you're just like watching this, and like, okay. And then they said this, listen to me, do not open your eyes. I'm like, bro, you don't know who you're talking to. I'm a rule breaker. I don't pay attention well to things like that. I don't want to walk around with my eyes shut. No way. And they gave me these Spider-Man goggles you put on with little pinholes all in it, and so the sun won't come in, and you won't hit your eye and rub your eye. And Lynn, my wife, she was driving me home. We was in Lexington, and I put these goggles on. I'm laying there. I'm like, I don't look in style, but hey, just work it. Work what you got. And I'm laying there. I'm sitting there. Next thing you know, we stopped. I said, honey, my eyes are closed. I said, honey, where are we? She said, we're at a stop sign, honey. Everything's okay. Just calm down. I was like, honey, but you don't know how to get around in Lexington. You're not good with directions. It's okay. Just calm down. I'm like, okay, we're this side of town. Okay, we're, and I'm literally, she does not know her way around. And I'm sitting there going, okay. And then we stopped, and she goes, we're at a stop sign. And then in my mind said, break the rules. Open your eyes. And I'll never forget, I opened my right eye, and I looked through one of those pinholes, and I could read the stop sign. And I was like, yes! No more contacts. No more glasses. And then I turned 40 this year, and I got a large print Bible. Don't you judge me. And I'm like, I can finally see. Let me ask you, what's keeping you from seeing clearly? What's in your perspective that's keeping you from seeing clearly? What's keeping you from seeing your life clearly? What's keeping you from seeing your marriage clearly? What's keeping you from seeing finance or your workplace or your relationships or at school? What is it that's blocking you from seeing clearly? Like, when you take like a 30,000 view picture of what's going on in your life, what's keeping you from seeing clearly? Because you can see, when you think about this, what you see will determine the things in your life. Really, I'm being honest. What you see or how you see your life will determine the things in your life. Watch this. How you see your life determines your stress level. Don't raise your hand. Are you stressed out? Well, let me tell you why you're stressed out. I guarantee this. Because your perspective, what are you looking at that's causing you to be stressed out? And what you look at and how you look at your circumstance or situation will cause stress in your life. So how you see will determine your stress level. It will determine your success. It will determine if you have strength. It will determine your stability in your life. Because here's the reality. Everything in your life is affected by your perspective. Everything. Everything in your life. Whether you're in college, whether you're dating in your middle school, dear Lord, whoever wants to think about middle school again, right? I mean, whether you're working, whether you're getting ready to retire, everything is affected by your perspective and how you see it. In fact, Matthew says it like this. He says, the eye is the lamp to the body. And if your eye's healthy, your body's healthy. If your eye's dark, your body is dark. What's he saying? How you see things, how you view, your perspective will determine how you even feel when the things are going on in your life. And I want to lean into that thinking about Mark chapter 8. So if you got your Bibles, go with me to Mark chapter 8. If you don't, get your phone out or your iPad. Go to Mark chapter 8. Why don't you walk through this story with me? Because this is a very unique situation. And hopefully as we go through this, you will understand as you see how God just puts things together in the Bible for a message. Because I believe there's a message in every miracle. Every miracle in your life contains a message. Every miracle in the scripture has a message in it, and we got to figure out what is the message, what is he trying to share with me? And so here's what happens. Jesus just fed 4,000 people. That's men, not including women and children. We have no idea how many. The Bible records 4,000 men, not including women and children in that. So thousands and thousands and thousands of people were fed. Jesus performed a crazy miracle. It was awesome. It was great. Well, guess what happened? The Pharisees, the religious people of the day, comes up to Jesus asking him for a miracle. Asking him for a sign. And I'm like, bro, did you not just see what just happened? Come on, 4,000 people. Took some, LJ5, right, from Long John Silver's. We broke it all up, and look what happens, and thousands of people got fed. Now, calories were not that good, but hey, thousands of people got fed. Did you not just see that? And look, here's what happens. Pick up in the story in verse 11. The Bible says the Pharisees came and began to argue with Jesus. We want a sign. We want a miracle. Show us that you are who you claim to be. Jesus signed in his spirit. I can see Jesus going, really, man? Did you not just see the miracle I just performed? Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't get you. And then he says this, why do you demand a sign? Here's what I'm going to say. You will not see a sign. I will not give a sign to this generation, to your generation. And then if you skip down to verse 15, he gives a warning about the Pharisees. Here's what he says. Watch out for the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast or the leaven of Herod. Now, why would Jesus say this? Well, you got to put this in context. He just fed 4,000 people plus with bread and all that stuff. And now he's talking about the Pharisees are like bread. What is it? What does that mean? Come on. I mean, they're high carb. I mean, what are we talking about? They're about bread. I mean, what do you mean about bread? Well, think about yeast. What does yeast do? Where's my bakers in the house? What does yeast do? It rises. It puffs up. That's what pride does. Pride will puff you up. And the reason why the Pharisees could not see the miracles is because they were full of pride. And they had this pride that puffed them up, that blocked their vision from seeing what Jesus was doing. But they are not the only one that had their vision blocked. Look what happens here. This is fascinating. This is fascinating. We do this all the time. Verse 13. He says, then Jesus just had the 4,000, right? He argued with the Pharisees in verse 13. Then he left them, the Pharisees, got back into the boat, and he went to the other side of the lake. He's going to the other side of the lake. The disciples had forgotten to take him bread. They only had one loaf of bread with them in the boat. And they're hungry. They get hangry, y'all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Peter, he eats like a horse over here. And like, now we've only got one loaf of bread. What are we going to do? Verse 16, they were discussing among themselves that they didn't have any bread. Now, isn't that funny? Jesus just fed 4,000 people, right, with bread. He warns about the bread of the Pharisees that are full of yeast, that are puffed up, and the pride has blinded them. And now the disciples were blinded. They didn't even recognize again who was in the boat with them. You're arguing over lunch. You're arguing over bread. I'm talking about behavior. Not the bread of the Pharisees, the behavior of the Pharisees because of their pride. And see, because their head was down, focused on their current circumstance, one loaf of bread, they could not see who was in the boat with them. We do this all the time. We do this all the time. We're focused on our one circumstance, and we miss that Jesus is with us in the boat. We're focused on work or a situation in a marriage or finances or a wayward kid or the relationships at school and people don't think I'm popular and no one wants to Snapchat me anymore. You're focused on what's going on now and your head's down on your circumstance and you miss seeing what God's doing. You're focused on the here and now. We do this all the time. We're more focused on our current comfort than our long-term character. We do this all the time. We're more concerned about being happy than being holy. I mean, this is us. We're more concerned about success than surrendering to the Lord because we focus on now instead of preparing for eternity. And we miss seeing Jesus with us now in the boat. Jesus knows this. He's aware of this. Look what he says in verse 17. Aware of this. How was he aware of this? Well, he's in the boat, but number two, he's God and he knows all things. Aware of this, he says, why are you discussing the fact you have no bread? I can see the disciples now. Shut up, Peter. Shut up. Don't say that. Why are you discussing that you have no bread? Do you not understand or comprehend? Do you have hardened hearts, which means closed mind, which means blindness? It's a spiritual metaphor for blindness. Your heart's closed. Your head's closed. Your mind's closed. Basically, Jesus says, why are you so blinded? And he goes and says, do you not have eyes to see? Do you not have ears to hear? Do you not remember? When I broke, and let's play some trivia here. When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full were left over? Please tell me, did we collect 12? Ding, 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 ding. Right on that one. Awesome way to go. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000 people who we just fed on the other side of the lake that already you forgot about, how many baskets were full of pieces did we collect? 7. Ding, 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 ding. Correct again. Then why don't you understand yet? Why don't you get this? Why are you still blinded by this? See, we do this all the time. There's a situation at work, there's a situation in your life, and you pray, God come through, God come through, God come through, God come through, and God comes through. And you're like, way to go, God. That was awesome. I got an A and I didn't study on my test. I don't know if God answers those prayers, by the way. That could have been luck, but hey, just throwing it out there, right? I mean, but God comes through in something. The promotion came through, or the job came through, or the marriage had a breakthrough, or the addiction was broken, or the kid came back, or the relationship worked out, and someone was healed when they said there was no hope. And you're like, way to go, God. And then the very next week, another trial, another circumstance come, and you're like, oh, God, what are we going to do? And you already forget the miracle he did last week. We do this all the time. We do this all the time. We already forget what God has already done. And Jesus is like, did you not see what happened on the other side of the lake? Are you so short-term memory that you don't get this? And watch this. Why are you blinded, disciples? Why are you blinded? And then it leads into our miracle. All that is background for the context of where we're going. You had to get that point right there and understand that. As you know, we move from spiritual blindness from the Pharisees because of pride, blindness from the disciples because they're focused on the circumstance and their short-term memory forgetting what Jesus has already done. And now Jesus goes, let's move from spiritual blindness into physical blindness. Why? Because there's a message that I have for you, disciples. And here's what I've come of reading my scripture and reading the Bible and understand. What Jesus tries to teach the disciples in the context is what he's trying to teach you today. So what is the message in the miracle? Well, we're going to walk through this miracle. We've titled the seas to seeing. What are the seas to seeing a miracle in your life? If you're ready to get started, say, let's go. That's all background. Somebody's like, oh, my goodness. Where we go? Hang tight. We're going to get through this pretty quick because I want you to get this and grasp this, what Jesus is about to do, and then the message that he has for you today. Let's go to verse 22. They came to Bethsaida. They get out of the boat. Jesus just talked about the bread. They came out of the boat. They went to Bethsaida, and look what happens. They brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So they heard Jesus was coming. Jesus walks in the town, in the village. Some friends grabbed their friend and brought them to Jesus and said, heal him. Touch him. We beg you. Which leads us, really, if you think about it, a question you have to ask yourself. Do I care about bringing people to Jesus? Because the miracles are performed when you begin to care about other people, which leads to our first C, care. If you write that down, care. Are you caring about others, or are you so focused on yourself? See, you're focused on a miracle. God may want you to be the miracle in somebody else that you get to experience it too. And so we're so focused on, I want a miracle, I need a miracle, God do a miracle. God's like, you go be the miracle. You go bring someone, you go care about them. Why? Because caring friends bring hurting friends to Jesus. If you care about someone so much, then are you getting them to a place where they hear Jesus, where they can meet Jesus? Or are you sharing with them that the love about Jesus? So if you want to experience miracles, if you want to see miracles, the first thing you got to ask yourself is, am I caring about other people? And then he says in verse 22 this, don't miss this. They brought the blind men to Jesus. When I read this, this really just stuck to me. And then they begged him to touch him. And I read that, I figure, one, that's me in my own life too, but I wonder how many people fall in that category right there. They beg God to touch someone, but they never bring them to Jesus. They're begging God to save my spouse, save my kid, my coach, my uncle needs Jesus so bad. Hey, the people I'm at school with, the people I play ball, my sorority sister, my fraternity brother, you name it. You go, my professor, I know they need Jesus. God, you're begging them to see Jesus, but then you never bring them. See, it goes hand in hand. If you care about them and love them that much, you're going to do everything you can to get them to a place that bring them to meet Jesus. This month, we're going to be focused on sharing the gospel. Every time they come, anytime you bring anybody here, they're going to hear about Jesus. Because Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the only one that can change someone. I can't change you, but Jesus can. And so that's what we got to focus on. Are we bringing people to Jesus? And then look what he says. He says, they brought him to Jesus and Jesus touched him. Jesus touched him, which means this. Here's a question you got to ask us. Am I close to Jesus? I have to be close if I want him to touch me. So the second C is close. Are you close to him? Are you close to Jesus? If you and I right now went out for coffee after church and I sat down and I asked you this question, hey, are you close to Jesus? What would you say? I mean, really, not the preacher answer. I mean, really, what would you say? What would your answer be? Hey, are you close to Jesus today? Usually when you ask someone that question, guess what happens? They defer it and they start to blame something that's keeping them from being close to Jesus. Well, man, I would be close to Jesus, but my marriage right now. Hey, I would be close to Jesus, but man, friends at school right now, they're just really, I'd really be close to Jesus, but really I just hadn't read my Bible in a while. Hey, I'd really be close, but man, I've just been inconsistent with church and hadn't been faithful coming. And I think if I got really faithful coming, I'd get a little bit closer to Jesus. And you know, I'd really be close to Jesus if I started serving again. I quit serving. I don't want to serve, but things were going in my life and time and complication. And if I need to jump back into serving, then I would be close to Jesus. Let me help every single one of you out. You are as close to Jesus as you choose to be. You choose that. There's no blaming. You can't point fingers. Well, they're keeping me from Jesus. And that's work is keeping me from Jesus. And coach is keeping me from Jesus. And the people at school, man, they're just tough to be around. No. You are as close to Jesus as you want to be. So if you'll choose to be close to him, you will get in a position to be ready for a miracle. Because miracles happen when I get close to Jesus. And so if you want to see a miracle in your life, get close to Jesus. And you are as close as you choose to be. I have to be close if I want him to touch me, if I need him to heal me, if I need him to do things in my life. Because the reality, if you think about it, miracles or healing, however you want to look at it, does not come from religion. And it doesn't come from rituals. No matter if you're talking about physically, emotionally, spiritually, I don't know what it made for you. If you want to be healed, Jesus only heals you. Jesus can only change you. I talked to he's getting ready to turn 80 years old, this retired minister a while back, and I was talking to him. He was talking about miracles and God healing and God doing great things, and he looked at me and said this. He said, I figured this out, young pastor. And I was like, oh, goodness, you know, he's half my age. I mean, I'm half his age. Tell me, what are you talking about? He said, listen, here's what I figured out when it comes to miracles and healing in people's lives. I said, what? He said, God does the healing, but the doctors send you the bill. I said, that's some preacher right there, man. That's good stuff right there. I got to figure that out. God does the healing, but it's the doctors that send you the bill for it. Isn't it amazing? God is the one that does the healing in our life. God's the one that can open our eyes. God's the one that brings all this together. So my question is, am I close to Jesus? And if I'm close to Jesus, he's going to perform miracles in my life. But then look what happens in verse 23. He touches him, but nothing happens. See, I bet you the people around him thought, oh my gosh, Jesus touched him. Can he see now? Because we heard about the miracles. Look what happens. He touches him. He takes the blind man by the hand, and he walks with him. Watch this in verse 20. He takes the blind man by the hand, and then he brought him out of the village. He brought him out of the village. Could you imagine if you're sitting there, if you're a blind man, and some guy that you heard about Jesus, he grabs you by the hand, you're blind, you can't see, and he leads you to a place that you have no idea where you're going, from a man you have nothing about but what you heard about, and he's leading you outside the city, which leads to this question, do I trust Jesus to lead me even when I cannot see? Am I confident? Am I confident that Jesus will lead me where I need to go? That Jesus will lead me in the right direction? I mean, think about this. Right now, you may be sitting saying, I have no idea where Jesus is leading me. I don't have no idea how long this will take. I don't even know direction that I'm going. If that's you today, guess what? Good news. You are in position for a miracle. Because God's going to do something great in your life. That's called the walk of faith. God, I don't really see you, but I'm going to trust you. God, I don't know where you're leading me, but I'm going to follow you. I mean, think about it. Think about if we were that confident and trust Jesus with our future, that he's going to lead us to a place that we don't know. Listen, I mean, I talk to people all the time. I ask about this all the time. You talk to a college student. What are you doing? Well, I'm going to major in this. When I graduate, I'm going to get a job here, and I'm going to work here. Why are you going to do that? Well, because mom and dad said they wouldn't pay for college if I didn't. You know how many college students are like that? Well, why are you going to do that? Because I was told that's where the money is, and that's where the money is. That's where I need to go, because that's the focus. That's why you're doing that? Honestly, I've never met a college student that says, honestly, before I came to college here, I got on my face before God and begged him, said, God, what do you want me to do? Where are you going to go? And I trust that you're going to lead me in the direction. And God has led me here to major in this. I have no clue what we're doing after college. Well, most college students don't have no clue what they're going to do after college. But this one, they really mean I'm going to trust Jesus that I have no, really don't know doing the college. And I'm just going to focus on it. And I'm confident that he's going to lead me where I need to go. Because the reality is not even adults do that. Even adults don't even think through that. You may be working a place, you've been working for 20 years, you paid the bills, put food on the table, but you're like, I have no idea what you, I don't know. Are you? I cannot afford to go blindly to say, I trust you now, Jesus. I got to provide for my family, as if Jesus can't do that for you. I'm telling you, if you want to experience a miracle in your life, you got to be so assured, so confident, and so much trust that says, even though I cannot see, I will follow you. And when you get to that place in your life, I'm telling you what, you will see miracles after miracles after miracles, because here's what happened. God moves on your behalf. Let me tell you why. Because of your faith. That you trust him to do it. Grabs him by the hand, leads him out to a place, and then he does one of the weirdest things ever. Weirdest things. Verse 23. Jesus spits a loogie. I mean, this is crazy. This is terrible. Spitting on his eyes. I mean, come on. Let's be there, right? Thank you, Jesus. I will go down in the history as the man that Jesus spat on. Okay, this is awesome. They're going to preach about me 2,000 years later, about the guy that Jesus spit on his face, which we don't have time to jump into this, but it's incredibly offensive. It really means that you're dirt. You're the lowest of the lowest when you spit in someone's face. But Jesus somehow chooses to do this. Spits in his man's eyes, lays hands on his eyes, and says, do you see anything? He's like, no, I do not see anything whatsoever. Do you see anything? And he looks up and he says this. I see people. They look like trees walking around. Pretty crazy. Again, Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes, and I believe personally he just wiped the eye boogers out of his face. I mean, like just wiped the snot out of his eyes so he could see. And he looked at him, and like says, do you see anything? Look what happens. The man looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Could you imagine? You see, when Jesus touches you, it changes the way that you see. When Jesus touches you, your focus gets sharper. I mean, think about this. Your perspective gets larger and your vision gets clearer.
When Jesus touches you, your vision gets clear. I mean, that's why we focus on next steps here. Because every time you take a next step, guess what happens? Your perspective grows. Every time you take a next step, your perspective goes when you follow Jesus. In fact, that's what our logo represents. That's what our brand is. As you look at our logo, is that every time you take a step, your perspective gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's our mission to help you take those steps so your perspective changes and you see Jesus for who he really is. And when you do, you will experience an abundant life, a full life, aka a better life than you've ever dreamed of. When you take the steps and to follow Jesus, your perspective changes and grows. Now watch this. This is very important. All of that happened for Jesus to make a point. Think about this. All that happened because there's a message in the miracle for the disciples. And what I've come to find out is what Jesus has been trying to teach the disciples in the Bible is what he wants to teach you and me who are now disciples 2,000 years later. And so when you walk through this, he performed a miracle with bread, 4,000 plus people. Pharisees debated him because they're full of pride, they can't see. You get in a boat and disciples are short-term memory loss and focus on their circumstance, are blinded that the bread of life is in the boat with them. Jesus is like, both of you still are spiritually blind. Don't you get this? I'm going to open your eyes so you can see this. Walks out of the boat. Here comes a blind man. Ironic? No. Ordained. Walks up to a blind man, heals the blind man, all because of this point right here in the text. And it said he saw everything clearly, which leads to the fourth and final C. If you're going to be in position for a miracle, is that you have to see Jesus clearly for who he truly is. And then Jesus corrects their vision with a question. And we find this in verse 27, the very next verse. Jesus sets this up for this moment right here. And he set this up for this moment for you right here. Look what he says in verse 27. Jesus went out with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. On the road, after all this has happened, they're walking down the road. Jesus says this, how does the community see me? How do people see me in your outer circles, disciples? Who do they say that I am? Well, Jesus, some sees you as John the Baptist, reincarnated. Some sees you as the prophet Elijah. You come back because we were told Elijah's going to come before the end comes, and some think you're the prophet Elijah. Some think you're just a pretty good dude. You're a prophet from God. Some sees you as a rabbi, just a good teacher, good man. That's great. All of that for this one question. But how do you see me? Jesus set them up. 4,000 Pharisees, one loaf of bread, blinded, physically, heal a blind man. How do you see me? Every single person on the planet has to answer this question. Every single person has to answer this question. And you will have a given account to this question on now and later. But it will be too late once you cross over to eternity to answer this question. The Bible says there will come a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to this question right here. Who is this man Jesus? And the Bible says those under the earth, in the earth, above the earth will hit their knee and they will confess whether you want to or not, Jesus Christ is Lord. And God has brought you here today to give you a chance to answer this question on this side of eternity, because it will be too late on that side. Peter, who do you say that I am? Guys, who do you see me as? And Peter answers the question, you are the Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the Christ. You're the one to come. You are the Son of God. You will have to give an account for that question someday. And today, our prayer is that God would perform LASIK surgery on your heart and open your eyes, that you will see He's the one. That He is the Messiah. That He is the Christ. I can't do that for you. Your spouse can't do that for you. Your parents can't do that for you. The greatest miracle that could happen this morning is that God would perform LASIK surgery on your heart and the eyes of your heart would be open and you now will say, I see clearly. He is the one. Because here's the reality. Everyone wants to see before they believe. Jesus says this, if you'll believe, you will see. And how you believe and what you believe about Jesus will determine how you see every area of your life. Do you believe He's the one? Do you believe that same question? He walks all the way to the text for this moment. Who do you think Jesus is? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a chance just to think about that and to respond. Would you please just bow your head just for a moment? And I'm going to ask you this question again. How do you see Jesus? Who do you say He is? Who do you say He is? 20 years ago, almost to the day, Jesus opened the eyes of my heart. He did it. I was blinded by the world. I was blinded by sin. But I knew there was something that God began to chisel away at my heart, and the hardness of my heart now was open. I was just like the disciples. My heart was hard. My mind was closed, but something changed. And I heard the gospel that Jesus came, He died, and He got up out of the grave for me, and God performed a miracle in my life on September the 2nd, 1997, where He opened my eyes. And I want to extend the same invitation to you. If God has opened your eyes this morning, will you receive Him? Listen, God's not mad at you. God is mad about you. And He wants you to see Him for who He is. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah. He is that whether you see that or not. But He wants you to confess it. So how does this heart transformation take place? Here's what the Bible says. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, He'll perform the greatest miracle in your life. You will cross from death to life. So here's what we're going to do. If the Lord has opened the eyes of your heart this morning, like you know, that God has just tugged your heart and something is changing, I want you to pray with me. Listen, saying a prayer will not save you, but your lips can proclaim what your heart declares. If God has done heart surgery this morning in your life and your heart wants to declare that He is the Lord on this side of eternity before it's too late, would you just pray this with me? Jesus, I believe. I believe You. I believe You came for me. I believe You died for me. I believe You got up out of the grave for me. And as best as I know how, I'm going to put my faith and trust in You. Thank You for forgiving me of my sin. My past, my present, my future. I'm going to believe. And I just sense several of you prayed that with me. Because you may have been at church, you may have went to church camp, you may just be here for the very first time because someone cared about you and invited you and brought you here because they love you. And for the very first time, now your eyes have been opened. Like, I now see. The disciples didn't believe until after the resurrection. You're in good company. Like, I've been around church my whole life, but today I now see, I now get it. My perspective has changed. So here's what I want you to do. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. Now, right now, I know what just happened. Your hands begin to sweat. Your heart begin to beat out of your chest. That's awesome. You know why? Because that means God's doing something in your life, and He wants you to make it public. Don't you let the devil talk you out of that. And when I count to three, I want you to do is I want you to, if you prayed that with me, just to stand up. I believe we've already had 12 people in the first service stand up. Because here's what's going to stand up. We're not going to embarrass you. We're going to celebrate with you what Jesus just performed, LASIK surgery in your heart. People are already standing before I count. Dear Lord, here we go. One, two, three. You prayed that with me. I want you to stand up. Come on. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Stay standing. You stay standing. You stay standing. Come on, church. I think you can do better than that. You stay standing. You guys stay standing, the ones who stood up. You ought to stay standing because I want to speak to you specifically. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Listen, you know how much guts it takes to stand up and do that? Proud of you. I'm proud of you. You know how much courage it takes to stand up? You know why you stood up? Because Jesus spoke to you. Jesus spoke to you. That's why you stood up. Now listen, from here on out, your life is a journey. It's going to be amazing. I love what Pastor Adam says through all the time. Today starts a new day for you. Now today starts a new journey. We have created a thing called Life Track. And in Life Track, watch this. We're going to help you learn how to grow in your faith. We're going to help you figure out how God wired you and your spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about how to grow and be mature as a believer. It's crazy. This is not for those who just stood up. This is for anybody. You've been saved for 40 years. We've created Life Track to help you. You need to jump in that. How to grow in my faith. What does it mean to use my gifts? I mean, you're going to find out how God's wired you. You don't want to miss Life Track. I don't care if you're standing up or not. You need to jump in that. But for those who stand up, we want to help you get plugged into Life Track and take that step and help you walk step by step and follow Jesus. Man, I don't want to stop, man. I think God's just doing something great right now still in your life. And I just want to encourage you, listen, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So here's what we're going to do. When everybody else is standing to their feet, everyone who stood up to give your life to Jesus, if you could, here's what I'm asking you. I want you to beat the crowd out. Grab your purse, grab your things, grab a family member. If you'll walk into the red room, we got a resource we want to give you. But while they walk, come on, can we shout? Can we praise? Can we sing? God's doing miracles. Come on, let's sing. Come on.
Thank you so much for joining us today online. If you were impacted by the message today and you made a decision to start following Jesus, we want to celebrate with you. Click on the I Accepted Jesus tab on our website at betterlife.church/salvation. If you're interested in supporting the ministry of Better Life Church, you can give online today at betterlife.church/give now. Have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.